This Sunday is the fifth Sunday after Pentecost. The Psalm of the day is from Psalm 119, verses 153 through 160. The scripture readings for this Sunday are the Old Testament reading taken from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 28, verses 5 through 9. The epistle is from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 7, verses 1 to 13. And the Holy Gospel is according to St. Matthew, chapter 10, verses 34 to 42. Pastor Magruder is basing today's sermon on the epistle reading from the book of Romans 7. He will read that for you now, and he will read the gospel for you from the book of St. Matthew, with the sermon for this Sunday titled, The Struggle.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A reading from the book of Romans, the 7th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Or do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives? Thus, a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives, but if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law. And if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve not under the old written code, but in the new life of the Spirit. What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, "You shall not covet." But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. Apart from the law, sin lies dead. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me and through it killed me. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. But did that which is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. This is the word of the Lord. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter, beginning at the 34th verse. Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones, even a cup of cold water, because he is my disciple, Truly, I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. This is the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. We have been given the opportunity to hear much of the book of Romans in this past month. It is one of the most impactful books of the New Testament because it delivers God's law and God's gospel in the clearest words. And in the reading today, it describes the Christian life as it is really lived. Romans chapter 7 is a cold, wet rag of reality for anyone who thinks that being a Christian means that you are free from sin. It's an answer to the false teaching that presents a true Christian as someone who lives a victorious life or can manage to pull off living a sin-free existence while following biblical principles. To make this point, Paul begins with a simple illustration from the marriage courts. And his point, his only point, is that death is the end of the law when it comes to marriage. When a husband dies, his wife is released from the marriage laws regarding her husband. He then says, that's how it is in Christ in regard to God's law. You also died to the law. You died in Christ. That's what we heard in Romans chapter 6, when Paul reminds us that you were buried with him in baptism. God declared you legally dead to the law by virtue of that washing of water and word. That means that sin, that the law of God reveals in you, no longer reigns over you. Christ does. And you are to consider yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. That's the gift given you in baptism. Paul says that you died to the law through the body of Christ. You're as dead as the dead body of Jesus hanging on a cross when it comes to the law. You're free to belong to the God who raised Jesus from the dead, free to live a new life, free to bear fruit to God as branches joined to the vine. God's word and our own experience teach us that there are two realities in our lives, our flesh and the Holy Spirit. Our flesh, which we inherited from Adam, is riddled with sin. Sin is a condition. It's like cancer. It invades your body, takes over your cells, and wreaks havoc and death. And the flesh, riddled with sin, cannot cure itself. Sin in our flesh produces all that rebellion and misery we call sins. Murder, theft, lying, immorality, greed, idolatry, you name it. Even if we were very good and innocent, like a newborn baby, we'd still have this condition called sin that lords over our human flesh and makes us captive to death. That is the reality of being a child of Adam, from our conception to our death. But there is a second reality laid over that by God, namely, the new life of the Spirit. Since we have been declared legally dead in our baptism into Christ, we are now free from the law to live a new life of freedom in the Spirit, the fruit of which Paul describes elsewhere: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law about these, he says. They're like fruit on the good tree of faith in Jesus. But now here's the tricky part. The life we now live, the life we live by faith in Christ, is a life held in tension between these two realities, flesh and spirit. The Spirit, that is, the life that is worked in us by the Holy Spirit to conform us to the mind of Christ, is certainly willing. But our flesh, which remains riddled with sin until it dies, is weak and filled with sin. And it's even worse than that. When sin gets a hold of God's law, things go from bad to worse, Paul says. Paul recalls his childhood as he learned the law at the feet of his teachers. His teachers taught him how to keep the law to please God, and he was doing fine, or so he thought. And then he learned the commandment about coveting, that funny commandment that deals with the heart so that no one even knows when you're coveting. It's just between you and God. Paul says he heard the commandment, "You shall not covet." And it was like a commandment, "You shall not yawn." The minute you hear it, you can't stop yawning. We think we can keep a commandment, and the harder we try, the worse it gets. The net effect is the opposite of what we expect. Sin becomes utterly sinful under the law. So sinful, you despair of ever saving yourself, which is precisely the point. Paul goes on in Romans 7. Now, the reading that we just heard didn't, but we need to, and I'd encourage you to do it sometime later today. He says, "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin." Notice he doesn't say, "I was unspiritual before I became a Christian and got straightened out." No, he says, "But I am unspiritual." He says, "I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, right now, nothing good lives." It's as though there was a war going on inside himself. Paul says, "I want to do good." His mind is set on doing good. He has the will to do good, but he can't pull it off. The good he wants to do, he doesn't do. And the evil he hates, that's what he does. And he is the Apostle Paul. His explanation? "It's not me. I'm dead. It's sin dwelling in me." He disowns his sin. He doesn't identify with it. And you do that too. You are baptized, dead to sin but alive to God in Christ. That is his declaration about you. It's not you, it's sin in you that's the problem, and that's not something you can deal with. Paul says he finds the principle at work. Two laws, the law of his renewed mind that delights in God's law, and the law of sin that's at work in his flesh, holding him captive. Now talk about a tension. Mind and members, spirit and flesh, it's a war going on inside the baptized believer. And you know this. You experience this. You think it's easy being a Christian? Guess again. Never mind the phony prophets who say, "Peace, peace," when there is no peace. Jesus said, "I have come not to bring peace, but a sword." And that sword cuts right through the heart of each and every one of us. It means literally losing your life, dropping dead to yourself in order to find your life in Christ. Paul concludes Romans 7 with these words, "Wretched man that I am." Paul, a wretched man? This isn't some kind of inferiority complex or lack of self-esteem. "Hey, don't be so down on yourself, Paul. You're the apostle. You're doing great things, spreading the gospel, starting churches. Look at all the great stuff you're doing. You're not a wretched man, Paul." No, Paul says, "I am a wretched man, and I live in a body of death." And so do I. And so do you. We live in a body of death, steeped in sin, destined to die. So Paul ends up asking the question we need answered. Who will rescue me? Who will save me from this body of death? I can't save myself. Someone else has to do it. And the answer? Thanks be to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. There's your answer. Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the one who saves us from this body of death in his body, given into death on a cross. He saves us from this body of death by baptizing our bodies into his death and grave. He saves us from this body of death by putting into our bodies his own body as living bread and his own blood, sacred wine poured out for the world. And please don't stop when you get to the end of chapter 7, or you'll miss that amazing verse that begins chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, that is, sin inhering in our flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. For now, it's a struggle. With our minds renewed by the Spirit, we serve the law of God. With our flesh corrupted by sin, we serve the law of sin. That's how it is, the life of Christ in a body of death. That's why it must be by grace through faith for Jesus' sake. It's our only rescue. And that's why it's so important to listen and receive the word as often as possible, gathering around that word to receive the Jesus we need to endure and conquer in him. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Please join us to confess our holy Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Collect of the Day for this fifth Sunday after Pentecost.
Let us pray. Almighty God, by the working of your Holy Spirit, grant that we may gladly hear your word proclaimed among us and follow its directing. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Go in peace and serve the Lord.